When you think about it, our lives are just a mist. We're here on earth, you know, when you look at eternity, just that little short period of time. As they say, the days are long and the years are short. Heard something on the radio recently and they said, you know, when you have kids, you got 18 summers with them. What are you doing with the time you have with your kids? We work hard, we sweat, we worry, we buy, we sell. But in the end, what is it that really matters? All of us end up in a box with people gathered around, hopefully saying good things about us. And you know there's people sitting there that are worried about how long the service is going to be because they got other things they need to get done. There's other people sitting there wondering if there's going to be enough chicken and potato salad for the reception. Read a quote, said, life is a game played out on a board of squares that we call a calendar. Each day we enter a new block, not knowing when the block we enter will not have a door out. Life is short. No matter how long you live, life is short. What are you doing with the days that you have? When you look at a tombstone, you have the date you were born. You don't do anything about that except for show up. And you have the date you die, and you really don't have a whole lot of say over that. But the dash in between those two dates, that simple dash, sums up your life. Some have a long dash. Some have a short dash. My grandmother was born in 1906. She lived to be 89 years old, and she was still driving and living on her own until she died. She saw our society go from a horse and buggy and saw the space shuttle. She saw World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, and so much more. She had a strong influence on her kids and her grandkids, and that's trickled out to her great-grandkids. In fact, all the family groups of great-grandkids has someone in that group that is named after her or my grandfather. She had a long dash filled with impact on the lives of the people around her. Some people have a short dash. My sister was born April 28, 1961. She died September 21, 2002, 41 years old. She had a 9-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter. During the summer of 2001, she and her husband and two kids set out on a journey. They had sold their house and almost everything they owned. They bought a Bluebird RV bus and began to travel the country. They were homeschooling anyway, and my sister called it retirement during midlife, while they could still do and see things. They planned on spending a year, a little over a year, traveling the country, and then they'd figure out where they wanted to settle down and live after that. But tragedy hit. Cancer. They think it was a type of lymphoma. In May, she was hiking sand dunes in Utah. 4 months later, we had a funeral. A couple days before she died, I was talking to her, and she said, you know, if a year ago the doctors had told me that I was going to die in a year, I probably would have sold everything, traveled the country, and spent as much time with my family as possible. I got to do that without that prognosis hanging over my head. Our lives are summed up by a dash on a tombstone. The day of her birth has been written. We're living in the dash. And someday, a day we do not know when, that final date will be written. What are you doing with the dash? James, the brother of Jesus, wrote, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. But that one line, you are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. What would you do if you were told you have 30 days to live? We act like we've got days and weeks and years, but in reality, we have no idea. Every day as you go down the road, you're only a few feet from death as the other cars are coming towards you. Do you live your life? Do you live your dash to the fullest? Most people who are dying don't say, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I wish I'd spent more time. I wish I'd made more money. Now, I worked for hospice for 11 years. People didn't say that. People said, I wish I'd spent more time enjoying life, enjoying friends, enjoying family, seeking and giving forgiveness. What would you do if you only had 30 more squares to fill and it was over? We make all kinds of plans, but we forget that we are not in control. I don't know how many people I've been told of or that I've met who were always living for that day. Someday, I'll retire. Then I'll live life. I hate my life right now. I don't like what I do, and I'm just stuck. And they retire, thinking they're going to do all those things. Only they die. They were living for someday, and someday never comes. Every day is a gift. And we ought to live it like it is a gift. I remember right after my sister died, I took stock. What's really important? I'd hug my kids and just remember that it could be the end. Cherished each day for a while. Then I got caught right back up into doing the daily things. You know, tomorrow I'll do this or that. I'll expand my business. I'll do all these things. Forgetting that tomorrow is not promised. The days fill up. Sometimes days go by slow, but when you look back, the years fly by. And James is not saying don't plan for the future. Scripture tells us we need to plan for the future. We need to save. But we also need to realize that we're not in control. God is in control. We should be prepared. But when the focus is on me and mine and I and self, what can I accumulate for me? I'm headed for trouble. Jesus told a story of a man who was doing all right. And then he hit the lottery. He had a bumper crop year like he'd never seen before. He had so many crops, he didn't have room for all of it. So he just tore down his old barns and built new barns, made more space, thinking, I have got it made. Now I've made it. Now I can sit back and take it easy. Now I can enjoy life. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. What are you doing with your dash? How do you fill each block on your calendar? Do you live your life on purpose focusing on what really matters, the eternal? Or do you let life drive you, focusing on things that are temporary? See, our tendency is to get caught up in the busyness of life. We get caught up in the things that are urgent. It's got to be done now. And we go from urgent to urgent. And the day's over and we get up the next day and we do the same thing, urgent to urgent again. And years fly by. But what about the important? See, sometimes the important, what really matters, ends up taking a back seat to the urgent. How important is it to go fishing with a kid? Or to go to their game or just play in the floor with them? Or just sit and listen to your child or spouse or a friend? I'm guilty. I get caught up in the urgent while neglecting the important. I get so busy doing things that I don't take time to sit and just listen and talk with Lana. And she's good at calling me out on it. She always has been.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was the same way when our boys were coming up. When I'd get caught up in all the urgent instead of the important, she would say, "Your boys need you more than all these other things." See, I tend to be a doer, and there are times when I just need to be there. No agenda, no plan. And it's the same with our time with God. We can get so busy that we don't think we have time to spend with God. We don't have time to read Scripture. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time for small group. We don't have time to go to church. But those things are the things that shape the eternal, that keeps on going and going and going. We are so busy focusing on the temporary, the things that don't last, that we lose sight of the eternal, the things that last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When we get to the end, what is it that will really matter? Once that last date is written, it's too late to go back and change what you did with the dash. I like the song by Tim McGraw, "Live Like You Were Dying," or "Live Like I Was Dying." And in it, the singer meets this guy who has been diagnosed with something that could be terminal, and the singer says, "Well, what'd you do?" And the response was, "I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I loved it deeper. I spoke sweeter. I gave forgiveness I'd been denying." And he said, "Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying." He said, "I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. Finally read the good book. I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again." Are you living like you're dying? Do you take chances? Do you live each day to the fullest? Are you investing more in people than in stuff? Are we pouring our lives into those that have an eternal sticker on them? Or are we just pouring our lives into the temporary, all the stuff? Parents, look at your kids. They are the most important investment you will make. And your time with them will fly by. You might not believe that right now, but when you look back, it's like, what happened? Days go by slow, but the years go by fast. Church, look around. The other people in here. This is the most important investment you can make, is in other people. Those here and those that are not here. What are we doing with the time we have been given? What you're doing, does it matter for more than just your dash? James isn't telling us that we shouldn't make plans, but he's telling us don't forget God in the midst of those plans. Live like we are dying, because we are. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. All the older folks can say amen. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, that means they're temporary, right? Light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. Are you preparing for eternity? Are you fixing your eyes on what is seen, the temporary, or on what is unseen, the eternal? Are you living today to the fullest? What is important for eternity? Are you living for eternity or just what's urgent today? Now, that doesn't mean eat, drink, be merry, don't worry about the future. I'm just going to live for myself while I can. The bumper sticker says, he who dies with the most toys wins, is not true. The only contentment, the only real contentment we will find in life is the life that we have focused on Jesus as our Lord and our Savior every day. All the money, all the fame, all the worldly accomplishments will leave you empty in the end. Back in 2005, with two Super Bowl rings, a 27-year-old Tom Brady was interviewed on 60 Minutes, and he says, I still think there's something greater out there for me. Some would say, this is what it is. You've reached your goal, your dreams. There's got to be more than this. This can't be all it is cracked up to be. I'm done it at 27. What else is there for me? Now, I don't know Tom Brady. I've never met him. I don't want to pretend like I know his thoughts. But I am guessing, based on the reports you hear about him, the interviews you see from him now as a 49-year-old Tom Brady with seven Super Bowl rings, I think he's still asking the same questions. You would think he would feel like he had lived a fulfilled life. But after his retirement, unretirement, public breakup with his wife, broadcaster, football team owner, one news story after another, his words and actions make you think that he is still looking and trying to figure out what that something greater out there is. He poured his life into football, quite possibly the greatest quarterback to play the game, whether you like him or not. But when the game is over, where does that leave you? I believe each one of us, deep down within us, know there's so much more than financial success or career success or whatever the world may tell you is success. Augustine said, our heart is restless until it rests in you, speaking of finding rest in Jesus alone. We have a God-shaped hole in our hearts that can only be filled with the relationship with Jesus. Without him, there's an emptiness that lingers no matter how successful the world may tell us we are. Real contentment, real living, only happens when we give our lives completely over to Jesus. Submit to God's plans for our lives. I had a plan laid out. I was going to farm. I could expand. I could do. I had it worked out so that at 53, I could retire. And I could keep farming if I want. I could lease it out. I'd be free at that point. My sister had a plan. Her and her husband and two kids, they were going to travel the country for a year or so and find a place to settle down, live life together. Our plans are just plans. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And James isn't saying don't make plans. And he's not saying whenever you talk, you always got to finish it. Lord willing, you know those people. Lord willing, And all they're doing is saying, they don't really mean, what he's saying is, we need to be convicted that whatever the Lord wants, I'm making these plans, this is what I'm going to do, as long as that's what the Lord wants, because I want to submit to his plans over my plans first. I want my desires to be his desire. If our sole purpose in life and business is make as much money as possible and live the good life, we're focused in the wrong direction, and all that is just temporary. In reality, we have a lot less control over our future than what we think. Our dash could become a date in a moment, and we do not know. What are you doing with your dash while you can make an impact? You know, you can impact the world. You can impact eternity with your little bit of dash. What are we doing to live the lives God calls us to live? To live life to the fullness. To live a life that's fulfilling. A life of contentment. A life of pouring into others. Look around. Every person you see is eternal. Either they'll spend eternity in the presence of Jesus, or they'll spend eternity separated from God and his love and his grace. And we call that hell. And Jesus said, in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Weight of Glory, wrote, it's a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. It is immortals, that means people who live for eternity, whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit, immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Look around. We're eternal. The question is where we will be for eternity. A life without regret begins when we change direction. It begins when we submit to live for Jesus. It begins when we realize that God sent his Son to die for us, for you and for me. And in turn, in order to live, really live, I have to die to myself, my self-centeredness, my plans, my goals, and live for him, receiving him as my Lord and my Savior. To really live means I live a life, Lord willing, what he wills. I love the way, and I know I use this, quote this verse a lot, but I love Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the change that takes place. We no longer focus on us. On the temporary, we live by faith in Jesus and live out our faith in our bodies. Life is short. Eternity is long. What are you filling each block of your life with? Sometimes we need to make corrections. Sometimes we have to filter out some of the urgent so we can focus on what's important. If you knew you had 30 days to live, what would you do different? Because people's favorite day is someday. And someday doesn't show up. And we can't all quit our jobs. There's things that we all still have to do. But what would you do different if you were living like you were dying? What would you do different if you only had 30 days to live? What would you do different if you were living out God's plan for your life each and every day? Someone asked John Wesley what he would do if he knew he was going to die tomorrow. And he just kind of laid out what he had planned for that night and the next day. I'm going to visit this person. I go here. I go do that. He says, because I'm living every day as I believe Jesus wants me to live. So if I know he's coming back, I'm going to continue to do those things. And when I go to bed that night, I'll wake up in his presence. How do you want to be remembered when the crowd gathers to remember the life you lived? While they're wondering about the chicken at the reception, what do you want them to be thinking about you? Are you living the life that you want to be remembered for? Are you the kind of person you want people to say you were at your funeral? Don't make the preacher lie about you. Be honest with yourself and with God. What are you really giving your life to? What are you living for? What are you willing to die for? What are you trying to save? What are you trying to keep? What are you willing to lose? When you get to the end of your life, what do you want your accomplishments to be? What regrets do you want to avoid? What would it take for us to live like we were dying? Because we are. But the good news is death no longer has a grip on us if we're followers of Jesus. Life is short. Eternity is long. But the life we live now impacts the way we spend eternity. What needs to change? Are you willing to change? Worship team is going to come up and we're going to sing. I want you to respond however the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. I always tell people I'm middle-aged if I live to be over 120. You know, the years do go by a lot faster than you expect. I don't want anybody leaving here with regrets.